Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Welcome to the Veterans News Hour. This is David Corey, along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us. Richard, good evening.
Hey, good evening, David. I'm coming to you live from Ocala, Florida. We have a guest tonight, Mr. Hank Whittier. We have a lot of information for everyone tonight. I also want to remind veterans that this is your show, so if you have any questions or comments, call us now or during the rest of the show at 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you tonight. So how you doing, David?
I'm doing great, Rick, and we'd certainly like to welcome our special guest, Mr. Hank Whittier, who, as you know, is the CEO and executive director of an organization in Florida called Marion County Veterans Helping Veterans. Hank will tell us a lot about his organization and the many great things that it's doing for veterans in North Central Florida. And he will share some ideas with other veterans groups around the country, too, that hopefully they can benefit from those ideas. Before talking with Hank, we'd first like to spend just a few quick minutes with some up-to-date news about developments in the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs this past week. Richard, you want to begin with that?
That sounds great. This past Friday, February 24th, the new VA Secretary, David Shulkin, held a live question and answer session broadcast on the internet via YouTube live. The session lasted about 35 minutes. Dr. Shulkin talked in general terms about how the VA would be ensuring veterans get the timely medical care they need, including with a greater reliance on the private sector when the VA medical facilities are not able to provide that care. As far as the VA appeals backlog, Dr. Shulkin mentioned that he believed Congress needs to reform the court appeals rules, which will allow veterans to repeatedly appeal claims. It is clear from Dr. Shulkin's answers that he's referring to the ideas we have analyzed in prior shows, which includes bills in the House and Senate to dramatically change appeals options. David, did you have a chance to watch the show?
I did watch the broadcast with great interest this past Friday, and of Dr. Shulkin's a little more than 30 minutes, a little more than two minutes was spent talking about the appeals backlog question. I was very disappointed in kind of the lack of focus and the very superficial answer that Dr. Shulkin provided. Right now, the VA has a backlog of about 480,000 cases on appeal. That means cases that are post notice of disagreement that are either still at the regional office or at the Board of Veterans Appeals. And it's very clear from Dr. Shulkin's very short two-minute answer on the appeals issue that we're likely going to face the same approach that we've warned veterans about on our last two shows, the last few weeks. Specifically, I want to focus on a bill called H.R. 611. It's called the VA Accountability First and Appeals Modernization Act of 2017. The reason I want to focus on this bill is that a virtually identical bill passed the U.S. House of Representatives last year by a vote of 310-166. In other words, a pretty comfortable margin. The only reason it didn't become law was that it went to the U.S. Senate, which had never acted on it. So we have the November elections. Now we have a new Congress. It's called the 115th Congress. So they basically have to start all over again. The fact that the House passed it last year doesn't count. But what concerns me is this H.R. 611 is virtually a duplicate of the one that passed the House. And as I've mentioned in prior shows, I just want to briefly highlight here, there's some troublesome aspects with it. The law has two major goals. About half the bill is, I would say, not terribly controversial. It's to make it easier for the VA to hold its employees accountable, to make it easier for the secretary to either demote or fire employees who need to go. That's fine. I don't think there's many veteran groups that are disputing that. But the other goal The other half of the bill is to make major changes in the appeals process for veterans' disability claims. And that part of the law would end the VA's current duty to assist veterans in developing their claims after the VA makes its first decision on the case. Currently, the way the law is, that duty to assist veterans exists both in the initial claim development stage as well as the first two appeal stages, which means the decision review officer stage and then the Board of Veterans Appeal stage. But this proposed law would eliminate, it would clearly eliminate by statute that duty after the VA has made its first decision. In my opinion, that's a terrible idea, and I would ask veterans to pay attention to this issue, let your voices be heard at the Congress on that. First of all, the VA, I think, does a pretty shabby job in assisting veterans in that duty to assist to begin with. A lot of veterans generally see dealing with the VA as an adversarial process from the start, and this will only get worse if that part of the law is passed, because the VA will have little incentive to do anything more than it's doing now, and it won't really have anything to do in helping the veterans develop their claims after that initial decision, which the veteran would be unhappy with. Another very bad idea in this bill is that it would eliminate the duty of the decision review officer. A decision review officer, often called a DRO, is the first level of appeal. That's supposed to be someone that considers the case with a fresh set of eyes, not affected by the prior denial of the claim. Currently, the decision review officer can accept new evidence, but under this proposed bill, the decision review officer would no longer be allowed to accept new evidence and would have to base the decision solely on the record as it exists, which, as I said, is usually poorly developed in the cases that end up on appeal, either due to a combination of the VA not assisting the veteran and in some cases because the veteran service officers are putting way too much faith in the VA rather than building a strong case for the veterans they help. So overall, as I've said the last couple of weeks, I really give that part of the bill a major thumbs down. I urge listeners to contact their representatives in the House and the two U.S. senators they have for every state to voice their concerns and hopefully their opposition in attempts to massively overhaul the appeal system with what I think is a complicated mess offered by this bill. The bill is sponsored by Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado, and currently it has only 27 co-sponsors, which I think is good. It's only 27. There's a Senate counterpart to the bill, which is S-152, sponsored by Florida's Senator Marco Rubio, co-sponsored by three other senators, including John McCain of Arizona, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, and Chuck Grassley of Iowa. So, again, I urge listeners, let your voices be heard on this. Pay attention to this. We'll be keeping you updated in future weeks.
That's great information, David, and thank you very much for that summation. Veterans, if you want to be heard on these and other issues, please contact your representatives in Congress. Remember, this is all about you, and you got to get up there and be a voice. We're out here trying to help you out, and you're going to hear a little bit from Hank Whittier. He'll tell you the same thing. You really got to get out there and make your voice known, whether you're part of a group or not. Do what you can do at your local level and then your state level and the federal level. You can find the contact information at thehouse.gov and senate.gov for your representatives and senators. Also, it is important to contact the House and Senate Committees on Veteran Affairs. Contact the House Committee on Veteran Affairs website, veterans.house.gov. Their phone number is 202-225-3527. That's 202-225-3527. The Senate Committee on Veteran Affairs is www.veterans.senate.gov. The GOP staff is 202-224-9126. That's the GOP staff at 202-224-9126. And the Democratic staff is at 202-224-2074. That's 202-224-2074. And also, remember, if you want to call in, our number here is 1-888-627-6008.
Yeah, we certainly welcome to hear everyone's views on this. Richard, speaking of those two committees, the House and Senate committees, another big news item is that this week both of those committees are holding joint hearings on the legislative ideas of veterans groups, starting tomorrow, Tuesday, February the 28th. They're holding a joint hearing. It's in the Senate office building, the Dirksen Senate office building, in case any of you happen to be in Washington, D.C. It's going to hear the presentation of the veterans group, the Disabled American Veterans, one of the major groups. And then on Wednesday, 2 days from now, Wednesday, March 1st, at 10 a.m., the committee is holding another joint hearing to hear the legislative ideas of the American Legion, as well as the VFW, the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Again, two major groups with a lot of influence. Again, if you're in Washington, D.C., and you've got the time, stop by. That joint hearing will be in the Dirksen Senate Office Building, room G50. And then in upcoming weeks, next week on March the 9th and then on March the 22nd, there'll be other legislative presentations by literally dozens of other smaller veteran groups. The major ones, like I say, are being heard this week. As I've mentioned in previous weeks, the VFW and Disabled American Veterans and Paralyzed Veterans of America, those have been some of the major voices in support of these appeal overhaul laws. So I really think that there needs to be more attention to that. And I will be following those hearings this week, next week, and then throughout this month. I'll keep you posted on our weekly shows.
So, thank you, David.
All right, over to you, Rick.
It'll be interesting and important to find out what those two major veteran groups, the DAV and the American Legion, proposed to Congress as solutions for the problems facing the VA. And now I've got the honor and privilege of introducing my guest tonight, Mr. Hank Whittier. How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing great. I like that honor and privilege, Bob.
Absolutely. I wish to let the listening audience know that Hank gave David and I our first shot on the radio about 4 years ago on Hank's show, Vets Helping Vets, and I get the opportunity to return the favor.
Well, I appreciate it. Listen, I'll plug it a little bit, WOCA Radio.
There you go.
That's us right here in Ocala, Florida.
Hey, Hank, tell us about your Marion County Vets Helping Vets.
Yeah, well, listen, we are a social service agency providing lots of services, very eclectic, been in operation since 1997. We actually contracted originally with the VA and then broke away from them, formed a nonprofit corporation in 2002, and still did some contracting with the VA, and then finally broke loose from them about 4 or 5 years ago. So we provide social services, financial aid, counseling, some peer counseling. We do some horseback therapeutic riding, and see about 5,800 veterans in this area we serve, do some advocacy. But primarily it's in the social service area. We provide a lot of utility payments, rent subsidies, trying to get veterans back on their feet. I don't want to be a crutch. I do want to be a hand up and get people independent again so that they're functioning as they did when they were in the military and productive citizens. So we're the largest social service agency in North Central Florida for veterans,
wow,
non-government,
yeah,
and growing. And, you know, we're primarily here in Marion County, but reach into Alachua, Levy, Citrus, Lake, a little bit into Putnam, and growing more. We're trying to get some people started up in Georgia doing the same sort of thing. So it's a growing agency. We depend on the contributions, grants, fundraisers. Rick, you're going to a fundraiser on Sunday,
right,
for us, play,
yep,
golf.
Yep.
Appreciate you and David, too, because, again, you guys are, you're our sort of our legislative arm and keep us informed about things we need to be informed about. We do a lot of advocacy, and I like what you have to say about veterans staying involved because it's critical. You know, if you're dependent upon other people looking after your interests, it's not going to happen. So veterans really need to pay attention to what's going on. They need to be advocating for themselves and for other veterans. You know, I mentioned Frederick Douglass, and I always remember what he said, quoted about agitate mm-hmm. again. And that's what veterans need to do. We need to be informed about what's going on in Congress, what's going on with your county commissioners, and let them know that you're watching them. It's not enough to just be active. You need to follow through and actually see. Then they follow through on the promises they kept. And we find a lot of times they didn't, and you need to remind them that they made promises and that we expect them to keep them. So I got a young veteran here with me tonight who's on my board of directors, and I'm glad to say he's young because he's 30, Marine Corps vet, Jason White. And I think that's what we all need to do as older veterans is draw these younger vets in because the fight continues. And if it doesn't, then we're going to lose. I think we're going to lose all the benefits and victories that we won in the past. So we need to stay on top of the game. So
I know we're here to talk to you, Hank, but I got one. Jason is here. I got one quick question for you, Jason. And that is, what's your impression of trying to get the younger vet involved? How difficult is it?
It can be very difficult. You have so many veterans that come out of the military of my generation. I'm 30, and in those span within 10 years, if you will. And they really get lost when they come out here and they feel like, well, there's nothing out that they can do. So they stay isolated. And, well, it's kind of ironic. You go in the military and you have such a support network, and you come out and they don't realize what support network they have out here. And that just doesn't provide, you know, not just the social services that an organization provides. It provides that community, that familyhood, that brotherhood that they have in the military, and they have to view it like that because these are the people that are supporting you and myself like they had in the military. It really is, to think about it, like that is the same network. We just have a different label now. Instead of being a Marine or a soldier or a sailor, we always will be those, but now we're a veteran. And there's other people within our culture and organizations and groups and that are within our culture, and they are part of the same thing that we had back then. So if we view them as that, we can kind of come together again and say, okay, well, this is our network, and we can stick together and get through these issues. Hank, you made a point about being involved and getting your word out there, and that's really the biggest thing is these veterans need to come out of their shell, come out of the box, get with all these other veterans, with our culture, our veterans' culture, as I call it, and put your word out there. Because for my generation, if we don't do it now, who's going to do it for us? No one. And what's going to happen? We are just going to be looked over and passed upon because our voices weren't loud enough, they weren't strong enough, or they weren't even there in the first place. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to have young veterans get involved and put their word out there and realize coming into that, they're going to find that social network, that brotherhood, that family of veterans that held them in the military out here just without their uniforms on.
Excellent. Now, Hank, we're here in your office here in Ocala, Florida. For those of you around the country, if you're not familiar with Ocala, it's deep in the heart of the state of Florida, right in the middle. The state's well situated. But I'm noticing, Hank, we do have lights on, and we've got the air conditioning working. And I know you don't do this yourself. How do you get funded for this? How do you keep your lights on?
Well, that good point, because and how do we help people? We help them by, you know, write grants. We do fundraising, golf tournaments. You're going to one Sunday. I heard your golf game is pretty bad, but they're going to let you on the course anyway.
I'm bringing my son. So
yeah, they,
he's going to pick me up both Sundays.
And through general donations. And, you know, something that's kind of exciting that happened to us here, we talk about being active in the community and holding the politicians and other people in the community accountable. You're in my office now. You can see it's plush surroundings.
Five star.
Yeah, I think we've got a 25-watt bulb on here tonight, but at least I can't read the writing you have in front of me. But, you know, we are moving into a veteran resource center, first one in the state of Florida. 15,000 square feet, veteran service officer will be there, vets helping vets. And we're bringing in six or seven other veteran agencies to work with us, provide a one-stop for veterans in Marion County and surrounding counties. And I think that's the way to go. But none of that would have happened if we didn't advocate and get in the face and get in the conscience of some of the local politicians. So we provided some money through a grant I wrote. Got a $500,000 grant through HUD, and that was for construction. The county put in about $800,000. And here in April, we should be moving into one-of-a-kind, first in Florida, a Veterans Resource Center. I like to see that as the model. You know, the veteran comes in off the street. I don't have to send them across town. I don't have to send them another county. He or she can get most of the services they need in that one building. And we plan to expand that because there's another 15,000 square feet available.
Wow.
County Commission doesn't know that yet, but I'm coming to talk about
that. Agitate.
That's right. There you go. We were talking before we came on the air. I know you've been invited to sit down and meet our governor, Governor Scott. He's bringing you up there, I guess, for a little entertainment.
Well, I understand. Yeah, about 50 of us are going to have dinner with him on the 13th of March. And you know, that's listen, it's flattering, all of that, humbled by it. But, you know, my job is to advocate for veterans. So I've got some issues. I we're trying to get a veterans nursing home here in Ocala. So
tell me about the nursing home.
Well, you know, it's a nursing home. And, you know, there's money around from the state of Florida through the feds. There's a scoring mechanism that takes place. We have some land available. We have the county commission and all the local groups supporting it, so we can toss in some local money to kind of do the preliminary stuff. But there is VA money available for that. Marion County's got 45,000 veterans. We've got another, what was the figure you tossed at me the other day, or you just tossed me a little while ago, how many thousands of veterans live in this general area?
About 600,000,
yeah, north central Florida. So we think it's the ideal location. It's an inland county, so we don't have to worry about hurricanes coming along. There's a lot of support here. So when I get to the governor's office, I'm certainly going to be talking about that. I'm going to be talking about a lot of things. We're going to be talking about better ways to fund the state of Florida's veterans affairs. You know, one of the things we want to do is talk about the lottery and why there can't be a veteran scratch-off game. I've talked to some of the legislators. It may take a constitutional amendment, may have to take it back to the votes. But one of the problems we all have, and I'm sure we're not isolated here in Florida and Marion County, is there's not enough funding for a lot of the programs we want to do. And so if we have that, or we can go to a half-penny sales tax. There's a lot of ways to fund these veteran programs if veterans were lobby and advocate on behalf of themselves to their local legislators, their local county commissioners, their people in Tallahassee, their congressmen, because it's doable if you do it. Just like someone told us a few months ago, a year ago, this Veterans Resource Center would never have. But, you know, hard work, perseverance, you have to do it. You have to roll up your sleeves, get some people who think like you and get it done. There's a lot of issues that I want to talk to him about. How much time he's going to give me, I don't know. But he's going to hear. Well, and I might mention your name.
I understand.
You and David have probably been mentioned.
Well, mention David. David's a Republican in the group. So, but I understand. Let me ask you this. When you started Vet Something Vets, was it your idea? I mean, how did that all kind of come together? I mean, I'm hoping that there's some people around the country who are thinking about doing the same type of thing, and maybe they need to kind of get some inspiration as to how to do it. How do you get something like this off the ground?
Well, you know what, it came about. It's great minds think alike, and I'm not one of the great minds. Mm-hmm. But the DAV came up with it. They wanted to try a pilot program, and their pilot program revolved around getting more people involved with helping vets, kind of a volunteer basis. And they approached me because I had some background with volunteer groups. But I was also at that time advocating on behalf of veterans because I saw a lot of veterans in the VA system kind of falling through the cracks, not getting the services they deserved and worked so hard for and earned. But additionally, some of the social service programs weren't providing what the veterans needed as well. So the concept started with the DAV, and then we expanded it beyond that. So as I say, we expanded it into now a very eclectic, very aggressive social service program to get veterans on their feet. But that can be started anywhere. You need leadership is what you need, and that's probably the missing ingredient. You need people willing to roll up their sleeves and not take no for an answer. And you need funding. I mean, you talk about the lights being on. You can't do the good works that you do unless you have the funds coming in. So, you know, that's part of it a lot of people don't like to do. I'd rather work directly with the veterans and just say, hey, listen, I can help you out today. But if I don't go out here and do fundraising, if I don't bang on the doors, if I don't try to write a grant, if I don't talk to some business in town or something internationally or across the country about the need that veterans have, then we're not going to even do the things that we do. So it takes money. And that's why I advocate in terms of having a lottery or a half-cent penny sales tax, something else that there's a steady stream of income coming in. But basically, it's going to go back to the veterans again and the veterans getting together and deciding on a plan, deciding on the course of action. If they do that, then there'll be hard work pays off. You know, mm-hmm. The harder you work, you know, the luckier you get.
Right.
And there's no substitute for hard work. Most of us learn that in the military. I certainly did. And I try to apply some of the same principles I learned in boot camp and not take a no for an answer and not be willing to take second best. That I was going to accomplish that goal no matter what came along. So, you know, and I work with a lot of groups. As I say, I'm working with some people up in Valdosta, Georgia now to try to get something off the ground up there. And we've worked with people in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and some other places to do, they don't have to do exactly like we do, but to get a program that services veterans, tries to provide a safety net for veterans so that they don't fall all the way down to the bottom. Because once they do, once they make that fall to the bottom, it's much harder to get them out of it. So if we can work together for that, and someone wants our help, you know, our number here in Ocala is area code 352-433-2320. Give us a call. I'd be glad to get on the phone with you. If you're within driving distance, I'll come down and talk to you. But it's doable. You just need some leadership. You need some people willing to work hard at it.
You're not one to take no for an answer.
No, I don't take no very well, but except for my wife.
Now, Hank, I know your background, but for our listening audience, tell me a little bit about your background. You're a veteran.
Yeah, veteran, Marine Corps vet. Which Jason likes, you know, Jason came in, he knew immediately I was a Marine Corps vet because I've got a coffee cup I haven't washed in 20 years, so thought he was back in the pool again. But that's my background in small business and also work in social service agencies. I've got some experience doing that. I came out of the Boston and joined the Marine Corps in Boston thanks to not just the Marine Corps, but the Boston Police Department had a lot to do with that. They thought it was a great idea. They encouraged me greatly to get off the streets of Boston, and the crime went down significantly.
Yeah. Now you were at Camp Lejeune, right?
I was at Camp Lejeune. I was in the 2nd Battalion, 2nd Marines, and 2nd Battalion, 8th Marines. I was a grunt, you know, the grunt is infantry.
And when were you at Camp Lejeune?
I was in there in the 60s, early 60s. So
you were there doing
the contaminated water stuff. Yeah. No one knew about the water thing. No one told us the thing. We kept on drinking that water, and I drank my share of beer as well. But
to wash down the water.
Yeah, wash down the water. Had I known what I know now today, I would have drank more beer. But, so we're concerned, and that's the other issue we're concerned about, because, you know, I just read something last week about some new studies come out, some new cancers, some new diseases that Marines and civilians and Navy personnel were exposed to, and unfortunately some children. So that's a concern about us. And I want this to be another Agent Orange where it gets swept under the rug and they wait for half of us to die before they finally admit to wrongdoing, and they finally admitted to some wrongdoing recently. So, you know, I'm looking to people like you and Dave and other folks have shed more light on that whole thing, because I think it's the tip of the iceberg. I think it's a lot worse than what we know today, and I think next year the list will be having 30 or 40 presumable diseases that we might be subject. I had an appointment with my urologist last week, and was talking about the Camp Lejeune mess. He wasn't aware of it, and, you know, he was talking about I was a low risk for this and a low risk for that, and I made him aware that, no, I'm not, because of the exposure I had to some of these chemicals in Camp Lejeune. So, you know, again, that's something you need to do as an individual veteran. If you're seeing a private doctor or even a VA doctor, you need to make sure that they're on top of that thing and what happened there.
And that doctor as well, I mean, especially in an area like Ocala with the number of veterans we have here, he needs to get on the stick.
He did. Well, he wasn't aware of it at all. You know, matter of fact, he and I talked, well, matter of fact, we talked more about that than we did about the public. It was great to inform him.
He did get his
$10. No, he did. Listen, you're a damn honest guy, so you're okay. Turns out it was a false alarm, but, you know, he wasn't aware of that. He said, look, I was surprised that this issue happened to me. He said, you're really low risk given your family history and your medical history until I got talking about Lejeune. And then he said, no, I didn't know that. And I shared some information with him. So now he's aware of it. So when he has patients come in who are Marines or Navy personnel or civilians who are stationed in Lejeune, you know, he knows now he needs to be a little bit more aware of what they might have been exposed to. And they may be high risk when he didn't think they were high risk before. And I like it's an isolated situation. I think that's probably true of a lot of military bases. It's certainly true of, you know, Agent Orange in Vietnam. We were talking about Guam earlier. I had a lady that is a friend of mine who is a native of Guam, and she was talking about how many of her family members have been diagnosed with rare forms of cancer. And as it turns out, and I didn't know that they sprayed Agent Orange to defoliate some of the surrounding foliage in Guam, and no one was aware of that. So now that all these cases of these cancers are occurring there as well.
Yeah, I was telling you, we have a client who he worked at the naval base there, and he was in the security office. And what he was describing to me was how the ships would come in, and they were getting their fuel was then being put through these big pipelines, which are being sent to the Air Force base. And a half acre on either side of the pipeline, there were no trees, there was nothing, and he could tell that. It wasn't a bunch of people weed whacking out there. It was brown. It was just dense. There was nothing there. And obviously, it turned out it was Agent Orange.
Yeah. Well, this lady was telling me about, you know, she went to high school there, and how many of her classmates had passed on over it. You know, they long since dead. Again, from rare forms of cancer that they shouldn't have got, certainly beyond the norm. And again, now we're finding that the chemicals were sprayed there as well.
You know, Hank, you've been doing this for quite a while, and
right out of high school.
Right out of high school, which was about a few years ago.
Just what?
You've seen a lot of change within the VA in my short time working with David. You know, we've been through Shinseki, McDonald, and now Shulkin. We see all these politicians. What do you think, and you heard David earlier talking about different bills that are pending, you know, we try to keep up on this. What do you think about the current state of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I've heard it all before. You know, listen, it's show me something. You know, because I've heard the same promises, the same, listen, we got a new secretary and everything's going to be fine. And then we have the same problems again. So, you know, accountability is part of it. Changing the culture of the VA is part of it. That's a big job, you know, and I don't care who the secretary is, quite frankly. There needs to be greater accountability. There needs to be an easier way to reward the good people. And there are a lot of good people in the VA. You know, I know a lot of them right up here at the VA clinic in Ocala. But there are some people up at the VA clinic in Ocala, too, that shouldn't be there. They need to be gone. There needs to be an easier way of doing that. You know, I like to see some oversight committees of veterans in every clinic and every facility. In the country, there ought to be veterans in place that veterans can go to and talk to. Not an advocate, not the patient advocate, because the patient advocate works for the VA. I mean, that's insane. You know, you need veterans in place, veterans who are totally independent and accountable to only one group, to the other veterans. And I think if we could establish that, that would go a long way in solving some of the problems, because they will blow the whistle, where the patient advocate is not going to blow the whistle, because their job is dependent upon keeping their boss happy. So that's a step in the right direction. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's certainly one of the things we want to talk about.
Yeah, I was listening to the same podcast, or YouTube broadcast that David was talking about, and I was a little disturbed. You know, I was really expecting some better things and more positive things from Shulkin. Importantly, you know, he's a Jersey guy like me, which I guess, I don't know, I shouldn't be saying that too much. Too loudly, especially on you, Hank.
Well, you know, Jersey's part of it. Is that part of the United States?
We're trying. We're working it back in. But, you know, he was at a couple of hospitals in New Jersey, and he did pretty well there. And then the last 18 months under McDonald, he was the undersecretary and apparently had all these big ideas. But I was really disturbed when he talked about legislation. We need to legislate improving the VA. I mean, come on. I mean, to me, it's more basic than why are we going to continue to throw it back to Congress?
Well, that's the excuse, and that's what we need to hear, you know, and then the new elections come up, and the guys who they were going to throw it back to are not there anymore. Maybe they shouldn't be. But we continue to hear the same excuses over and over again. You know, how many committee meetings do you have to go to realize that you have a real problem up against? But the veterans themselves have to do something about that. And again, you know, going to Congress, and demanding that, again, I think the solution rests with the veterans themselves. And how we do that is again, get more veterans involved directly, you know, as oversight committees. I don't need a congressman to tell me things are bad, but I'll certainly listen to some veteran right up here at the VA clinic or some board of veterans that say, hey, Hank, are you happy with your care? And when I tell them no, that they'll do something about it. If I tell a congressman that, I don't really think that's going to make much of a difference. They'll tell me it does, but in reality, I don't think it does.
I have a client who, she's a veteran, and she also works at the VA down in St. Petersburg. And she made a statement to me the other day, which I'm going to ask you to comment upon. She said, here at St. Pete, 20% of the people do the work for the other 80%. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, she's probably being generous. Okay, I'm not sure it's 20%, it's probably 10%. And there's a lot of dead wood, you know. Listen, those people are making good money, great benefits, and think they have it bad. You know, I was up at one of the local clinics not too long ago, and heard them all complaining about how rough they had. You know, I said, really, you really have it bad. You know, yeah, I mean, outstanding dollars, they're making certainly well above the average wage here in Marion County, well above for nurses and doctors. And you know, the thing they have that a lot of folks don't have is security. I can't remember the last time, and I've had a couple of incidents here locally where a VA employee was fired. I've seen them transferred, which means only another group of veterans has the same damn problem.
Right.
You know, some of these people need to be fired. Listen, reward the good troops that you have. If it's that 10%, listen, God bless them. They need to get rewarded. But you also need to take care of the other ones. You need to get rid of them.
She also made the comment to me, which I found very disturbing, and that is that the and including her own department head, the department head, and it starts at the top, and it filters down, this attitude of putting Band-Aids over the complaint. And she told me over the last 6 months, her department head hasn't done anything productive. All he's been doing is putting Band-Aids over all these problems, and she said the philosophy is, sweep it under the rug. We don't want anyone to know about our bad laundry. I mean, it's appalling what I'm hearing.
And yeah, I think it's consistent. You know, and if you really look at some of these situations, it's probably worse than we imagine it to be. The problem, the real sad part about it, it's fixable if we just decide to fix it. But we keep on, like you say, putting Band-Aids on it. Congress will have another committee meeting and tell how deplorable it is, how bad it is, but then it continues. You know, there are some people you mentioned Senator McCain and Rubio and some of the other, I really had high hopes that some of these people would really say, listen, enough of this, let's fix it once and for all. So maybe it will happen this time, you know, high hopes, and I have that, new administration, new opportunities, but, you know, the veterans are frustrated. With those of us who advocate on behalf of veterans get frustrated. But we're going to keep the fight up. You know, you're going to hope that the last guy, the last woman you talk to in Congress and in the Senate and the House really is going to do something, that they're going to follow through. But we need to make sure that they do. Because it just can't continue like this. And, and it's not always about money. You know, the money is there. It's about the quality of care and demanding that people do their damn jobs.
Who's going to keep advocating for us? You talked a few days ago about a gentleman who had a heart attack and was gone right then and there. But unfortunately, our older, great generation, that can happen anytime. And I know I, myself, although I try to do the best I can't do it myself. I never could do it in the military. We don't do it by ourselves. It's so true that our younger generation need to step up and just take that role and start moving forward with what we've been given by our great generation.
Well, you know, Jason, and I give you a bad time all the time because I told you you're in headquarters company and probably your fingers are raw to the bone from doing all that typing.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, honestly, you are inspirational because you're a young vet and you're involved. I'm getting out of here a bit. You know, I'm 74 years old. I'll be checking out in not too many more years. So, I need you guys to step forward. I need every veteran in this country to say, hey, listen, I'm going to make a difference today. make a difference for myself. Be selfish
Absolutely.
About it. Yeah. It's for you.
Absolutely.
But, you know, think about your brothers. Think about the people you serve, which you talked about, family. When you walk through the door here, I consider you part of this family.
And that's how I feel.
And I want all veterans to say, you know, your brothers and your sisters are in trouble. It may not be. Maybe where you live, it's a great clinic and a great hospital. But that's not true across the country. And if you advocate and you agitate and you make enough noise and you put those people in office who really got to keep their words, then it will make a difference.
And I know I go as far to say that I ask every one of my generation and after me to really just stand up and continue to like walk into an organization in your community that advocates for veterans and say, hey, I don't know who you are. You don't know who I am. I'm a veteran. I'm one of you. And let me find a way to help and learn. And it's a learning process every single day for me. But it's so true. When I walk in this door, it's not just the services that can be provided. I am surrounded by the same family I had in the military. Now, I will say, yeah, am I the youngest one in the group? Of course. But that is negated completely when it's just all these veterans who walk in, shake their hands, give them a hug, and you just fight together, and you can't fight by yourself.
Well, we're lucky, because David at the other end of the line, I think, was...
Yeah, I'm still here, I could just interject a couple things. Are you still there?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, what I'd like to interject is, you know, there's so many veteran groups, American Legion, VFW, AMVETS, et cetera, and... I think it's, from what Jason was saying, I think it's important that those organizations get out there and do some outreach to the latest generation of veterans. You know, if you go to some of these, you know, posts, AMVETS posts, whatever, and there's certainly an outstanding social element to it, but I think there's a lot of older veterans there, and I think it's important for a lot of reasons for the younger vets to keep that connection with each other. And these veteran groups, whether it's the Legion, whether it's VFW or AMVETS or the other ones, I think are great. They're already established, and I think there just needs to be, you know, more outreach. And I wanted to ask Hank this question about, from what your perspective there in Marion County, how do you see those different groups at a county level? How effective are they working together, would you say?
Yeah, you know, it's moderate, okay? We've done some good things. You know, we pulled them into the equation for the resource center. They were, for the most part, they were pretty supportive. But there's room for improvement, you know. Sometimes we're too busy turf guarding, you know, watching us first. And that really gets in the way of helping out and reaching out. And you mentioned young vets. You know, you can't, they're not necessarily going to come to your VFW post.
Right.
But I know where they're at. You know, check out your colleges, because they're enrolled. That's where they're at. A lot of them are enrolled. And they got their own little veterans clubs. Go out there and recruit them, just like you would recruit anybody else. You know, if you wanted a good baseball player, you know, where would you look? You'd look probably the Dominican Republic. but I know where these, you know, in every community, you know where these young veterans are. Go back to the recruiters and say, hey, who just checked in with you, got home from serving 4 years or 5 years or 6 years. He's back in the community that you know about. Because a lot of the guys check back in. But normally they're going to be out here in the community. They're going to be at the colleges, because a hell of a lot of them are enrolled. And we made a, you know, here at Vets Helping Vets, we're making a special effort to reach out to them and say, listen, you know, come on in. We've got something for you. Tell us what you want. I'm not going to tell you what, you know, I'm not going to sell you a bill of goods. You tell us where you want to be involved, how you want to be active. I want to give you something constructive to do, something that's going to keep you busy and you feel like it's worth your while. You know, don't come into my organization or these other organizations and ask them to do the things we've been doing for the last 40 years. They may not want to do it, you know, and we're all different. There's a lot of good things going on, but, you know, we've got, you know, you have the veterans councils, you have all these things. They just need to be strengthened. They need to be worked on a little bit better. You know, but in the absence of that, if they're not doing it, then damn it, sometimes you just got to do it yourself and say, hey, you know, I'd like to take you along. I want you to be part of us. But in the absence of that, you get enough veterans together, and you don't have to be an organized group. It helps when you are.
Right.
You have to go there and find these young vets and recruit them and get them involved and make them understand that, you know, the future belongs to them. It doesn't belong to me.
Thank you. We've been talking about mostly, again, the healthcare side. And I know because you refer a lot of veterans over to David and I. As far as the compensation side, you know, what's your opinion of what you see?
Well, I agree with David. They come in here all the time, and they think that the VA is their friend, is their ally. And I'm going to tell you, it's not. You know, I'm sorry to tell you that. I wish it were. I wish it was your advocate, because you hear that from the VA, and we're here to look after your interest, and to some degree they do. But certainly in terms of benefits and compensation, that's the last thing that's true. I have not dealt with anybody in the VA system that has been helpful to a veteran benefit-wise. If it weren't for outside forces, whether it's a service officer, an attorney, the two of you are outstanding. And that's really the folks who are looking after the veterans' interests. It ought to be, the VA ought to be doing that, but they're not doing that. And I'm not familiar with you guys on some of that legislation. But that's the part of the bill, that's the part of the legislation that needs to be strengthened. I hear a lot of lip service about the VA is going to do this for you and that for you. But if you go to the VA office and if you really seriously think they're going to help you get your claim and your benefits, listen, it's not you're whistling in the dark. It's not going to happen. You better go out and get yourself a DAV service office or a VFW service office or get yourself a good attorney, because that's really where the action is going to be. And what I've seen is the VA is kicking and screaming all the way to the table. And eventually, because the pressure is put on them, eventually, and that was certainly true of the Vietnam vets with Agent Orange and all of that, because the VA for many, many years denied all of this. And they fought against the veterans. They were actually adversary relationships with the veterans. And I still see that today. And I see the attitude is still there. Well, you're always going to find the exceptions to the rule, but without the service officers and without attorneys, vets, you're really in a bad place. You need to get involved, and whatever you do, don't do the claims yourself, please. Don't do the claims yourself. If there's one thing from this, our show, that you can remember, you really need to do. You need to get people involved with you. You need help, and you need support. And frankly, the VA is the last person I would ask. I talk to 100 attorneys before I talk to the VA.
Yeah, Hank, I get onto your show every so often, and unfortunately, you hear my spiel about kind of the basic things, and I'm sure you see it here at the office. And I constantly tell veterans, open the mail, and meet your deadlines. If you have to file an appeal, notice of disagreement, you have 1 year. Don't wait 364 days and then rush it in. Do it on the first day, to get the other ones. If you're appealing to the Board of Veteran Appeals, you have 60 days. And unfortunately, we have to keep saying that over and over and over again. I'm sure you see that.
Yeah, we do. You and I talk about this all the time. I think you've told me 10,000 times, and we've told the listening audience and Mary, anything who will hear us, it's the same issue, and they do. They put it off. Or they think, I was talking to my friends at the VA. They're going to, it's not going to happen. And you're going to wake up some morning and you've missed the deadline. And some bureaucrat's going to say, well, hey, I'm sorry. I'd love to help you out, but you missed the deadline by 10 days. And you're screwed, okay? There's other language you can use, but I can't use it.
Yeah.
But, it's true. I don't know how to get them, I don't know how to get them all active. Some veterans groups are, some people really understand that from day one, that they need assistance. They need to be talking to the right people. They need to get the right advice. But there's an awful lot of veterans out there who just, like you say, don't open the mail. Don't pay attention. Don't return phone calls. They give up, and they give up, there's nothing you can do. Well, there is if you act appropriately and talk to the right people. But I don't know what the answer is there, other than you got to keep just doing what you're doing tonight. You hope someone out there, maybe one veteran in Illinois heard the show tonight and was going to say, hey, God, maybe I ought to do something. Maybe I need to reach out to a service officer. Maybe I need to reach out to an attorney. and get my case taken care of, because the Department of Defense and the VA isn't going to do it for you. Absolutely not.
We're getting close to the end of the show, but I wanted to ask you about, our show is every Monday night at 9 o'clock on bbsradio.com, the Veterans News Hour. What topics would you like to see us to continue to address during our shows?
Well, what you talked about earlier was very informative. Some of the legislation pending, some of the bills, and most of us, kind of get caught up in our everyday or local government. We know what's happening around the corner, but keeping up with House bill and Senate bill, and inform the veterans about who is active, who really is carrying the water for the veterans. A lot of people say they are, and we assume that a lot of veterans who served, and there aren't that many in Congress, but are going to do that. But that's not always the case. Sometimes the ones who served are not doing at all. So, inform us of what House bills are up there, who sits on what committee. That's very informative. I know, Jason and I were listening to that, and I wrote down a couple of things as you guys were talking, particularly Dave. Because we just don't have the time or the training or the understanding sometimes, particularly as it comes to legal matters and some of the things you all were talking about. Sharing information, when you hear of a good program, of something going on around the country that really is working, a job program, a PTSD training program. When you hear about that stuff, get them on the show. Get them to talk about it. Let us, share that information with us. We think we're doing some pretty great things here in Ocala. But you know what? I don't have to reinvent the wheel. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. If there's another wheel out there that does it better than we do, through your show, share it with us.
Richard, if I could interject, Richard, I want to give Hank another opportunity to put his contact information out there for our listening audience. Hank, if you would, not only your point of contact, if people want to contact you for your advice, but also if they want to assist your organization with a donation or in any other way, if you could tell our listeners again your contact information.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to put my young assistant on that because my voice is starting to crack on me.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, if you're local, we are, for now, in 1527 Northeast 8th Avenue in Ocala. And you can reach us at 352-433-2320. That is 352-433-2320 over here at Marion County Veterans Helping Veterans. You can also reach us on email at www.mcveteranshelpingveterans.org.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great. And for listeners, just again, their website is mcveteranshelpingveterans.org. And I really encourage listeners to check out their website. This organization is a great organization, a great benchmark for other veteran groups out there. And we really appreciate Hank and Jason being on our show tonight.
I
know we are rapidly reaching the end of our show, and we'd like to thank all of our listeners tonight. Richard, before we wrap up, anything you'd like to add?
No, I want to thank Hank for taking the time. As he said, he's up past his bedtime. Got to get him home and into bed. His wife's going to be calling soon.
It's like a Cinderella Liberty,
Well, thanks again.
Yeah, listen, can I just mention one thing? Just reach out, let us know you're out there. If you think a little agency like us can help you out, I don't care where you are, contact us. We'll certainly try to do that. And
great. Thanks so much.
Appreciate everybody's service. God bless America, folks.
Yes, thank you very much. And I'd like to thank all the listeners tonight listening to our show. As you know, our program is on every Monday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, and 6 p.m. Pacific. You can also listen to our archived shows on the website, bbsradio.com/TheVeteransNewsHour. Thanks again, and thanks to our producer, Doug Newsom, for his help and great job. And that's our show for tonight. Please tune in next week for another great show.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.